before power existed and before heart rate existed, you just had the one buoy. You had RPE. And you went up a climb and you went, I think I'm going pretty fast in this climb. About the only thing you could do before those two metrics existed would be to look at your speed and maybe time yourself from the bottom to the top of a climb. And on a flat road in cycling, that's kind of useless because the weather is so varied. Wind has such a huge impact on speed that it's kind of a bit useless. It's not like track running where you can just click off lap times and know pretty much where you are. It's a very different sport. That's why power revolutionized the sport, because it was an objective look at our output. Whereas running on the track, you could just take lap times. And aside from weather, there wasn't much variation. Or yeah, wind impacts running speed a little bit, but nowhere near what it does cycling. And indoor velodrome time, same thing. Like, power meters weren't that revelatory for indoor track cycling because you got an indoor velodrome. So your times are your times, right? But we have these two waypoints, our output and our response to that load, and then our RPE. What we're saying when we talk about an example of this road racer, you know, deciding whether or not to follow an attack or deciding whether to lead the group on a climb or follow wheels on a climb or whatever, all these intuitive decisions come from RPE. It's from knowing yourself, the first tenet of being an aerobic or an endurance athlete, or really any athlete at all, I would argue. Doesn't matter if you're a boxer or a martial artist or a motocross racer or a cyclist, you have to know yourself. When we began to quantify things in the sport of cycling, what we did is we juxtaposed those relationships. We inverted them. And now power is seen as the only metric that matters. This is why we have coaches like the one that you mentioned who doesn't even look at heart rate. And maybe they don't look at cadence or torque either. They don't even separate power into the two constituents or components. And I'm not here to tell that you or anyone else that coach is doing it wrong. That's not my role. But I will say that in my opinion, the most important metric for any athlete always is RPE. Nothing else is more important. And for the exact reason we described why. When the business end of a bike race comes to you, is delivered on your plate, the way to know what you got in the tank is through internal knowing. It's not through looking at numbers or analyzing the number of KJs you've used or watt prime or how much time you've had in particular power zones or what your heart rate is at that moment. That's all just a bunch of gobbledygook. What matters is, can you follow that wheel or not? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that matters. And that's the only real answer. So we have to be quite particular about the order of operations in which we prioritize these metrics. And that's why I think it's important for us to train as coaches, our athletes, to respect and understand RPE, which is one of the reasons I give them these little puzzles like 4x5 maximum. Now, power does have a place prescriptively, and it can be illustrative in certain points. If you know precisely the demands of your event, which I would argue people think they do more than they actually do. But if you precisely know the demands of what you have to make, how many watts you have to make to do a certain task, and you want to train for that power, you can. The danger there is that we run into a 350, 330 problem. Because if you're convinced, if you have all this data and you have the world's biggest nerd coach who did all the analysis and all the spreadsheets and all the WKO5 and all the, oh, what's that program called that projects Golden your time on a course?
Oh, Windsock. Time split, best bike split.
Best bike split. So they do the analysis of best bike split and they put in the GPX courses and blah, 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 blah. And they dork out on all the different permutations. And they're like, in order to win this time trial, you have to make 382 watts on this climb of 8 minutes, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to duplicate that in our training. And 382 is your magic number. And you're out there going as hard as you can. And you're making 351. Mm-hmm. And now what happens? Mm-hmm. Your race is 3 weeks away and you have a meltdown. Mm-hmm. And your training is arrested and stopped. Or you have some sort of existential bike rider crisis. And you suck and you're not good enough and you're not, you know... Then what happens? Most athletes, many athletes will spiral into this negative wormhole of crappiness and self-reflection, and they can spiral right out of a good training program. And meanwhile, I have personally experienced many times where I've been making 350 as a metaphorical number when I needed to be making 382. And I did it for months on end, banging my head against a wall. And then I show up to a race day and somehow magically I made 400 and I smashed everybody. I've also had the inverse happen. But the bottom line is, if you become obsessed with the data and derailed by this preconceived notion of what your data has to be in order for you to win or be good enough. My opinion, you're missing the point of the sport, because it comes down to this belief system, which is one of my most hated expressions. I rarely use the word hate because I really don't hate many things other than leaf blowers.